Okay, hey everybody. All right, we'll get started momentarily. Okay, so let us begin. We're still in this transition stage. By the way, my Bluetooth earbuds are not in, so hopefully the sound comes out clear enough. We're still in this bridge between Yishtabach and Yotzer, and the last piece of this is Baruch Hu. So what is Baruch Hu all about? Where does it come from? How does it function? So that's all what we're going to discuss today. The first time we hear about the concept of Baruch Hu is actually not in connection to Birchos Kriyas Shema. The first time we hear Baruch Hu is actually about Zimun. When we talk about in the seventh parak of Brachos, the third Mishnah talks about benching with a mezumin. And the Mishnah says that when you have three people to have a Zimun, you say Nevarich She'achalnu Mishalo. When you have four people, then you can say Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu She'achalnu Mishalo, meaning the one person is saying Baruch Hu, he's asking everyone to make the bracha, and then they respond. So that's how it works in the Mishnah. Obviously, when it comes to benching, we don't say Baruch Hu, we only say Nevarich. So why did that change? If it mentions in the Mishnah the option to say Baruch Hu, why are we only saying Nevarich? So there the Gemara already explains that Nevarich is a more inclusive bracha, because Nevarach says, let us do this together. Baruch Hu means you guys do it. So as opposed to we're doing it together. So that is why when it comes to the Birchas HaZimun, we always say the language of Nevarich. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah actually adds on in Brachos that Rabbi Yishmael said, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach. That initially there was a machlokes, do you say Baruch Hu Es Hashem, and that's it, or it's Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach? What the importance about saying HaMevorach? HaMevorach is also kind of including you in the bracha. Let's praise the one who is blessed. So it's not as inclusive as Nevarich, but now that we say HaMevorach, that not that the Shatz says HaMevorach, he's almost being more inclusive and is part of the tzibur in making the bracha. And that is our custom. We say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach. We say this by getting an aliyah. But where does it get to by Birchos Kriyas Shema? So in the Mishnah mentioned that we recite it for, there's an idea to say it at benching, and then Rabbi Akiva adds on, just like we do this for benching, we'll do this for Kriyas HaTorah. So Kriyas HaTorah had caught on, and we said Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach by Kriyas HaTorah, but it didn't necessarily come down to Birchos Kriyas Shema. How did it get there? So where exactly did it come from is an interesting discussion. We'll get to it a little bit later, but I'll just share with you the idea from the Tashbates. Actually, I'll share with you all the answers here for a moment. But there's a lot to discuss for Baruch Hu, so we'll try to hold cup. So there are three different approaches as to why Baruch Hu is here in this specific location. But in terms of understanding how it came to Kriyas Shema, into this area, the Tashbitz writes that the concept of Baruch Hu is you make a bracha before, or you make this statement before a Birchas HaTorah. So, for example, when we read the Torah, we say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach, and then we make a bracha, Asher Baruch Rabbanu Mikol Ha'amim. We're making a Birchas HaTorah. Similarly, says the Tashbetz, when it comes to Birchos Kriyas Shema, we're making this declaration, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach, and then we're making a bracha for Birchas HaTorah. we're making Birchas HaTorah and Birchos Kriyashma, what are you talking about? Well, that's based on the Gemara in Brachos, that the Bracha of Ava Rabba that we make is a form of a Birchas HaTorah. And that's why, and that's how the Tashbetz writes that Baruch Hu made it to this spot. There are other reasons, or how it went from Zimun to Kriyashma, to Shmon Esrei, to Leini, I'm sorry, to Kriyas HaTorah, to Kriyashma, Birchos Kriyashma. That's so one idea. Well, we'll get more involved and more detailed as we go along. But that's just to understand how it came to this location in Birchos Kriyashma. Now, there's a couple other important things here. If you look in the statement of the Baruch Hu, it simply says that the person will say Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMevorach. And then the Mishnah says, how does the congregation answer? The Tzibur is required to respond as follows. Ke'inyan shehu mevarich, kach onim acharav. Just like the blessing is made, that's how they respond. They respond essentially the same way the bracha was made. Which means the answer should be, Baruch Hashem HaMevorach. You say Baruch Hu, so you're at the shatz is asking everyone to be mevarich, so we say Baruch Hashem HaMevorach. Yet we add on two more words, Baruch Hashem HaMevorach, Le'olam Voed, forever. Where does that come from? Not found in the Mishnah. It's not found, I don't believe it's even found in Masechah Sofrim. So where exactly do we see this? Interestingly, there's a sitter from Rav Shlomo Germesia, from Varmez. He writes, it's 11th century sitter. He says that the Tzibur only answers, Baruch Hashem HaMevorach. That's it. But there is a Sifri. Many of the Midrashim talk about Baruch Hu Hashem HaMevorach and the importance of responding, Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Voed. Even though, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, it's very clear. You say, Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Voed, but you're not going to find any source for the Le'olam Voed in the Gemara, but they're all found in Midrashic sources. The Sifri and Devarim is very clear that Le'olam Voed should be part of that phrase, and that's what we say today. But again, there are other sources that recite Baruch Hashem HaMevorach, and that's it. So Le'olam Voed is an old tradition, but it wasn't accepted everywhere. Now, there's another question that comes up. So the Shliach Tzibur says, Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMevorach. The Tzibur responds, Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Voed. Now the question is the Shliach Tzibur required to once again reaffirm by making the bracha himself, Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Voed? So here we have an interesting machlokas brought down by the Tur. The Tur quotes the Maharam Rutenberg, who says that it's not necessary. The Rambam says it's not necessary. You already said, Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMevorach. I've already announced that God is praised. If I announce that God is praised, why does the Shliach Tzibur need to respond after the Tzibur has responded as Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Voed? I already said he's Mevorach. I don't need to say it. However, Rav Saad Yigaon and the Torah quotes the Rebbe Yehuda from Barcelona, who say that you are required, the Shliach Tzibur is required to say Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Voed, because the HaMevorach presumably could be focusing on the fact that God was Mevorach in the past, not right Mevorach right now. So I have to go out of my way to say Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Voed. So that's so essentially the Nekudas HaMachlokas here is whether the word HaMevorach that the Shliach Tzibur makes in his opening statement, is that enough of an inclusionary term so that he doesn't need to recite it again because he already is praising God? Or maybe that Mevorach just means he was praised in the past. It's not enough. He has to reaffirm it now in public. And that is the Machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch writes that the Paskins that the Shliach Tzibur is required to repeat Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Voed. Interestingly, Rabbi Shimon Schwab has a chumrah. I guess it's a chumrah. He says that if the purpose of repeating Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Voed is so that the Shliach Tzibur is included, with the tzibur, then he should recite Baruch Hashem HaMavarach Le'olam Vo'ed together with the tzibur. So essentially, he says Baruch Hashem HaMavarach, and then everyone together, him included, say Baruch Hashem HaMavarach Le'olam Vo'ed. Everyone should be one. You should say it in unison with the tzibur. The truth is, it doesn't fit. That chumrah doesn't fit very well with different halachas in Shulchan Aruch, but there certainly is room for this concept. But as we'll see, there's different technical halachas. For example, what if I only hear the Shliach Tzibur recite Baruch Hashem HaMavarach Le'olam Voed, and I missed the Tzibur saying it, but I only heard the Shliach Tzibur saying it. Do I answer Amen? Can I still say Baruch Hu? Well, based on Rabbi Schwab's reading, it wouldn't make sense. Based on his Chumrah, it would never happen, because you're always saying, the Shliach Tzibur is always reciting Baruch Hashem HaMavarach Le'olam Voed together with the Tzibur. But nevertheless, that's the Chumrah of Rabbi Schwab. So if you do see people who recite Baruch Hashem, the Shliach Tzibur says Baruch Hashem HaMavarach Le'olam Voed together with the Tzibur, then you'll understand, and you're wondering, what happened? Why is he saying it so fast? That's why. You're not necessarily required to repeat it afterwards. You can say it together with the tzibur. Okay, so now the question that we have to get to, perhaps the one of the more important questions, is what's the purpose of Baruch Hu? Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMavorach. Let us praise God who is praised. Baruch Hashem HaMavorach Le'olam Vo'ed. Blessed is God who is praised forever and ever. What are we doing here? Why? What's the point of it? So I think that from a halachic standpoint, it's very clear. We're asking for approval from the congregation. The Shliach Tzibur is asking permission from the congregation for permission to lead them in the davening. As we know, before there was a printing press and mass sidurim, the Shliach Tzibur was leading the davening. So, and everyone else was just listening and answering Amen, or responding to his statements, but they didn't need a text in front of them, a formal text, or they didn't have a formal text. So he would say, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavorach, are you ready to praise God? Are you approving of my appointment as the Shliach Tzibur? Baruch Hashem HaMavorach Le'olam Vo'ed, you all affirm and agree that I'm going to be your fearless leader for this davening. So that's what it is. Essentially, from a halachic perspective, Baruch Hu is asking for halachic approval from the tzibur to lead the davening. The whole concept of the Baruch Hu is learned from the pasuk Gadlu l'Hashem iti unromamash shmo yachdav. Let us elevate God's name and sanctify Him and elevate Him together. So that's what we're doing. Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavorach. Do you affirm? Do you agree? And then we keep on going. So that's the halachic understanding, the halachic purpose for a Baruch Hu. The same thing for a Kriyas HaTorah. If you recall, traditionally, the person who got the Aliyah would also read. So he's the one who is asking for everyone to affirm that he's going to be the leader, and then he continues and then gets the Aliyah and reads from the Torah. So it's a similar concept. We're getting people connected to do the mitzvah. I'm the Shliach Tzibur, so I need everyone's approval. Everyone's got to be on board. There's a Kabbalistic reason as well. The Zohar writes, Zohar in Rus, that the neshama doesn't settle into a person's body until a person responds with the words, Baruch Hashem HaMavorach Le'olam Voed. Those five words. That's only then does the neshama enter back into the guf. Thinking about that Kabbalistic idea, you consider the fact that so many of us were away from Minyan for so many months. So Kabbalistically speaking, to have that feeling that your neshama was separated from your guf since you didn't have the opportunity to hear Baruch Hashem HaMavorach Le'olam Vo'ed is a little frightening. But nevertheless, the Zohar writes that these five words of Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem HaMavorach Le'olam Vo'ed, represent the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, the chaya, and the yechida. I can't tell you I understand what all these things are, but that is al pi Kabbalah, this idea that Baruch Hu is essential for our davening. It brings the neshama into the guf and allows us to get on with our day, essentially. That's the idea from the Zohar. There is, I would call it somewhat of an existential understanding, an existential reading, but it's also Al-Pi Kabbalah. The Rokeach quotes a Braisa. There's a Braisa discussing a Chaya, the same idea that we just mentioned before, that the Chaya, he says the Chaya is considered Yisrael. It refers to the Jewish people, that every day this Chaya, this Jewish people, they say, Baruch Hashem HaMevorach, and the ministering angels respond, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. And so there is this connection then between humans and the ministering angels every morning. So those are three different understandings as to the purpose of Baruch. There's the halachic reason. He's the Shliach Tzibur. He needs permission to move forward. There's the Kabbalistic reason that it's connected to bringing the Neshama to the Guf together. And there's another Kabbalistic idea of connecting the humans with the celestial beings. Okay. But then we discussed before, and we alluded to it earlier, and now we'll tackle it a little more carefully now, which is, why is it here? Why is it at this particular point? After Yishtabach, before Birchos Kriyishma, why is it in this bridge? So we mentioned the Tashbetz before, that the Tashbetz wrote that the Baruch Hu is a prefatory statement that's made before a Birchas HaTorah. And since Ava Rabba is technically a Birchas HaTorah, so we have the statement of Baruch Hu right before Birchos Kriyishma. There's a couple other reasons, and I'll help break it down. One is that focusing on the past, and one is focusing on the future. There comes from the Otzar Gaonim. They bring down that Baruch Hu is an extension of Psukei Dezimra. Psukei Dezimra was full of praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we complete it essentially by saying Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavorach. What greater way to praise Him than using this statement with a tzibur of Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavorach LaOlam Voed? But that sounds like the focus is on the past. It's an extension of Psukei Dezimra. So again, trying to figure out what that bridge is all about, Baruch Hu now, according to the Gaonim, seems to be a bridge, not focusing, connected more to the past. Whereas Rabbeinu Manoach writes the opposite. Rabbeinu Manoach writes that the Shatz, when he says Baruch Hu, is encouraging the Tzibur to praise God with the brachos that follow. Similar to the halachic idea that when I say Baruch Hu, I want everyone to give me permission to lead the Tzibur. That's what we're doing, where the focus is on the future. And even the Tashbetz, who writes that the Baruch Hu is Birchas HaTorah, is a bracha, a prefatory statement connected to Birchas HaTorah, it's also focused on the future, because Ava Rabba is said a little bit later on during Birchos Kriyishma. So, based on that, there would be a nafkamina, and based on these two opinions, if we say that Baruch Hu is connected to the past, then after Baruch Hu, before Birchos Kriyishma, would be what we would call Bein HaPrakim, and if it's considered Bein HaPrakim, you would be allowed to talk if there was a Tzorech. If Baruch Hu is connected to Birchos Kriyishma, then it's considered Emtza HaPerek, and you're not allowed to make a Hefzik during that point. The Shulchan Aruch rules very clearly, the Ramah says this as well, that Baruch Hu is in fact connected to Birchos Kriyishma. So even if there are those who maintain that Baruch Hu is an extension of Psukei Dezimra, halachically we rule that Baruch Hu is connected to Birchos Kriyishma. In fact, it would make more sense logically, because if I'm saying Baruch Hu, you want the Baruch Hu to be connected to something. Why am I saying Baruch Hu now and then I'm finished with Psukei Dezimra? It makes more sense logically to have Baruch Hu being connected to Birchos Kriyishma. But there is interestingly a fourth explanation as to why Baruch Hu is recited in this bridge area between Psukei Dezimra and Birchos Kriyishma, and that's brought down also by that Siddur of Rav Shlomer from Farmaiza from the 11th century, and he says that the Baruch Hu is connected to the Kaddish right before it. In other words, we just praised Yiskadal v'Yiskadash, we praised God's holy name, so now we're going to bless it. He deserves to be Mevorach, he deserves to be blessed. So here you have, now in that bridge, which is really fascinating, in this bridge between Yishtabach and Psukei Dezimra and Birchos Kriyishma, we have this bridge, this gap that's filled with Kaddish and Baruch Hu, and now he's putting the two together, that is really one unit of Kaddish and Baruch Hu are together as one. And this actually has an important nafgamina as well. There is another discussion later on about the concept of being poreis al hashma, that if you don't have a tzibur on time, and you have 10 people, they all davened on their own, and finally they all show up in the same room, you want to do some form of a heichi kedusha, you want to get a baruchu in. So how do you do this? So the Shulchan Aruch says, well, you'll do a kaddish, you'll do a baruchu, and you'll recite the first bracha of Yotzer Or Avari Choshech. And the Ramah says, no, you don't have to. You can do the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, and that's it. You don't have to say the bracha of Yotzer after the Baruch Hu. It's not necessary. Well, perhaps the idea is connected to here. According to the Shulchan Aruch, you would assume that Baruch Hu is connected to Birchos Kriyishma. So therefore, you can't just say Baruch Hu and not continue afterwards. But perhaps the other opinion is that, no, the Baruch Hu is connected to the Kaddish. So if I'm being Poreis al Hashma, as long as I just do the Baruch Hu and Baruch Hashem HaMavorach LeOlam Vaoed, it's fine. It's still connected. I'm connected to the Kaddish, so I got whatever I needed to get out of it. Then the Ashkenazic custom is not to recite the Bracha of Yotzer Or following the Ramah. The Sephardim would be different. But that, again, so four reasons as to why Baruch Hu is found in this section. Either it's focused on the past, either it's focused on the future, either there's a little more context to it because it's connected to Ava Rabba as a form of Birchas HaTorah, or finally it's connected to the Kaddish. So you can go all over. There's no wrong way to recite the Kaddish, I suppose, in terms of or understand the placement of the Kaddish. But it's important for us to understand where it's coming from and what the sources are all about. There are some technicalities to deal with. So, for example, if you don't hear the shatz say Baruch Hu, and you only... what happens? So if you hear the tzibur say Baruch Hashem HaMavorach LeOlam Vaoed, you're allowed to respond with the tzibur Baruch Hashem HaMavorach LeOlam Vaoed, even if you didn't hear the shliach tzibur. But what if you didn't hear the shliach tzibur, and then you didn't hear the tzibur say Baruch Hashem HaMavorach LeOlam Vaoed? All you did was hear the shliach tzibur repeat Baruch Hashem HaMavorach LeOlam Vaoed. At that point, you're only allowed to answer Amen. There's a discussion with the Magen Avram. Maybe you can still answer with Baruch Hu, but the general custom was in that situation is only answering Amen is permissible at that point. There is an interesting discussion in general whether the Shliach Tzibur, when he hears everyone answer Baruch Hashem HaMavorach LeOlam Vaoed, if he's supposed to answer Amen to the Tzibur statement, and then when the Tzibur says when the Shliach Tzibur says Baruch Hashem HaMavorach LeOlam Vaoed, maybe the Tzibur is supposed to answer Amen. So we get in two extra Amens, one for the Shliach Tzibur and one for the Tzibur. There's a big discussion about that, but the custom is not to answer Amen. If you're in the middle of davening, you do not answer Amen. The only person who would answer Amen would be someone who completely missed all of the statement, the initial statement from the Shliach Tzibur, and missed the response of the Tzibur. And if they only get the secondary response from the Shliach Tzibur, they can answer Amen to that bracha. Otherwise, the custom is not to answer Amen at any other point. Okay, there is another custom that we have. There's a custom that, by Baruch Hu, that we bow. The Machzor Vitri and the Kolbo both write that we bow at Baruch Hu S, and then we stand straight for Hashem. But they don't give a source for it. They just say this is what you do, but no source is given. The Bir Halacha in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, he locates the source and he connects it to David HaMelech from a source in Divrei HaYamim, in Chronicles. And David HaMelech writes, Baruch Hu Na Es Hashem. He tells the Tzibur, essentially, Baruch Hu Na Es Hashem. And we're told, Vayivarchu Kol HaKahal Vayiktu Vayishtachavu. They danced and they bowed. So you see a Baruch Hu and a bow. That's the connection. The Shulchan HaTor, in his commentary, is adamantly against bowing during Baruch Hu. He says he uses the language Mordechai lo yichrev lo yishtachave. He says, oh, Mordechai didn't bow, that he makes the allusion to our Baruch Hu. There is no bowing at Baruch Hu. And the truth is, if we remember the Vilna Gaon from last week, we discussed whether you're supposed to bow during Kaddish. And the Vilna Gaon writes, we're not supposed to bow during Kaddish. You only bow during the times where Chazal told us to bow, which is essentially during Shmon Esrei. We should not be bowing in any other point. So we would assume to extend the prohibition of the Vilna Gaon to here as well. We wouldn't bow at Baruch Hu either. But even those who do bow, we definitely do not bow like Shmon Esrei. We don't bend with our knees and then bow down and then, you know, stand up slowly in the same way that we bow down. Rather, we bow and lift up. That is the general custom. We do that when we get an aliyah. We generally do the same thing as well. That is our custom. Many Sfardim have the custom that only the Shliach Tzibur bows at Baruch Hu, and the Kahal does not. So those are different customs as to where it happens. So you have some who won't bow at all for Baruch Hu, some where everybody bows, and some where only the Shliach Tzibur bows. Again, many different customs in when it comes to Baruch Hu. The Shari Tshuva has a fascinating Chumrah. The Shari Tshuva Al Pi Kabbalah writes that when you recite Baruch Hu, you have to face Mizrach. No matter where you are, for Baruch Hu, you need to face Mizrach. So that, you know, oftentimes you'll see in different shuls where the rabbi sits facing the tzibur. When you get to Baruch Hu, sometimes the rabbi will just face the community and just bow. And other times the rabbi will turn around and bow. So what's that all about? Well, that appears to be this chumrah from the Shari Tshuva, who says that when you bow, you should bow, for Baruch Hu, you should bow east. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that it's not necessary, and therefore you have, again, differing opinions of what is appropriate. There's, again, in this situation, there's no incorrect way. There's also a custom to stand, or there's a question about whether you're required to stand for Baruch Hu or not. Bowing, you could bow in your seat. Do you have to stand? We discussed last week the idea that Kaddish is Devar Shebe Kedusha, and Devar Shebe Kedusha, you're supposed to stand. But then we had the whole long discussion about whether you're always required to stand. Maybe there are times, maybe you only need to stand if you're standing already, but not if you're sitting that you have to stand, or maybe if it's only if you're going to be standing in a minute. But if I'm not standing for a while, then there's no requirement. When will I have to stand? Well, I have to stand for the Amida. I don't necessarily need to stand for any other section. So we're told that the Piskei Tshuvos writes that the Arizal and the Maharil were not makbet to stand for Baruch Hu. They would just respond Baruch Hu. You know, when people get an aliyah, the whole tzibur doesn't stand for every aliyah. We have people who are makbet to stand for the aliyahs. I know that I sit when people are getting the aliyah. My wife stands; she's very makbet. But there's different hanhagas. But we see that there isn't a requirement necessarily to stand for Baruch Hu, but the general custom for Birchos by Birchos Kriyashma is that everyone stands for Baruch Hu. The Aruch HaShulchan in Simin Sadi Hey, I saw this quoted by the Mishnah Berurah Dirshu, the Aruch HaShulchan in Simin Sadi Hey mentions that during Shmon Esrei, we're required to stand with our feet together. The reason why we stand with our feet together is because we want to be like the Malachim. The Malachim have one foot, so by putting our two feet together, it looks like we're standing on one foot. We're like angels. So he said the Minhag also evolved for Baruch Hu to stand with our feet together. Again, not a requirement, but that is the Minhag. You know, so often in so many shuls, you see something that bothers you because they're not doing it correctly, and you're sure that they're doing an Avera. So it's a Chumrah or a Minhag, not the end of the world. But it's always important, if you know the sources, you understand the material, then you know what's really a Chiyuv and what's only more in the realm of Chumrah and Minhag. Not to minimize it at all, but just to understand it. Okay, the last couple of things to mention with regards to Baruch Hu is as follows. If you note, in the old RCA Siddur, when you get to Baruch Hu, you're going to see a little prayer here. Yeah, it's in small letters. It begins with the Yisbarach, V'yishtabach, V'yispar, V'yishroma, V'yisnase. It almost sounds like a Kaddish. What the heck is this all about? Why is it here? And, so the art scroll writes in the old RCA Siddur, In some congregations, the chazan chants a melody during his recitation of Baruch Hu, so that the congregation can then recite Yisbarach. That's the name of this prayer. Of course, in the new RCA Siddur, they decided to remove it. So you'll notice when you get to Baruch Hu, just says Baruch Hu, doesn't have the Yisbarach there. So what's this all about? The source, well, the is actually found in the Ramah. The Ramah writes that there's a minhag for the shatz to be ma'arich with a nigun in order that the tzibur can recite this special prayer of Yisbarach. The Mishnah Berurah writes, however, that this idea that you can recite the prayer Yisbarach is only when the shatz is singing without words. If he's singing the words of Baruch Hu, then you're not allowed to recite the words. You have to listen to the Baruch Hu. And based on that, the Aruch HaShulchan says the custom evolved not to recite Yisbarach because the Shliach Tzibur, certainly during the week, is not doing a whole long 20-second, 25-second intro to Baruch Hu. We're trying to finish davening. We finished davening in 25 seconds. A 25-second intro to Baruch Hu, not going to happen, certainly during the weekday. And then perhaps that's the reason why they took out the prayer of Yisbarach in the new RCA Siddur, even though they still have it in the old Art Scroll RCA Siddur. But the Rush, the initial source came from the Rush. The Rush wrote in his Truvos that there was this custom to recite this prayer of Yisbarach, and he called it almost like a modim, similar to modim derabanan. When the shliach tzibur says modim, so we say modim derabanan. Similarly, when the shliach tzibur is saying baruch, we say this prayer of Yisbarach. Again, the Mishnah Berurah was makbid that we should only say this during the singing, not when there's a recitation of the words. The truth is that the Tur and the Beis Yosef actually are not happy with this prayer of Yisbarach either, but because Rav Amram Graon, Rav Sadia Gaon, they don't bring this down as a requirement or as a custom, but nevertheless, the Ramah does bring it down. But again, as you notice from the latest edition of the RCA Siddur, it's certainly not popularized, and it's going out of style slowly but surely if it hasn't gone out of style already. So that is a lot about Baruch Hu. It was two lines or three lines, but there's just a lot to talk about. And next time, I think I'm going to be away for a couple weeks. Next time we will get to Birchos Kriyas Shema, but we've minded the gap. We've understood now Kaddish and Baruch Hu. We finished Al Pesukei DeZimra, and now we are prepared to move on to the next section of the Tefillah, which is Birchos Kriyas Shema. Have a wonderful night, and I will see you all next time.